Texas, and more, with these superstorms hitting them, and Jose is on the way after Irma.
It's sad, Bill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Friday, September 8th, 2017. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And, of course, a program reminder, in our third hour today, the lovely Lady Claire will be joining us with her unique perspective on world events. So we've got that to look forward to as well. So let's get right on into the news here. Obviously, Hurricane Irma on uppermost on pretty much everybody's mind right now. The predicted storm track for the eye of the hurricane has again shifted slightly to the west. And so now it's still going up the middle of the state, but a little more westerly than they had feared. And, of course, it could still wander all over in the next couple of days here, because it's not expected to make landfall on Florida till Sunday. But there's no question the state of Florida is about to take a real serious pounding there. The storm is absolutely huge, and even if the eye misses you, you're going to be dealing with storm surge. Hurricane-level winds are radiating out about 50 miles on either side of the eye right now. Now, it has weakened a little bit. It's down to a Category 4 hurricane right now. So that's a little bit of good news, but it's definitely going to be a major problem. And the governor of the state of Florida is out there saying, you got to get out of the way. And you got to be leaving right now. And already there's gridlock on the highways from people who only started taking this stuff seriously today. And basically, Florida is rapidly turning into a ghost state. And the Floridians are stuck in this bumper-to-bumper traffic trying to flee the storm, especially after seeing the damage that it did to these Caribbean islands and killed at least 18 that they know of in the Caribbean. And that number is probably going to go on up because they haven't even begun to clear away the wreckage from all these destroyed buildings. So it's going to be nasty here. And right now we're looking at the greatest evacuation in history. 650,000 people have been ordered to leave Florida. Not just get out of a city here or there. Get out of the state. Get out of the way of this thing. And it is a monster storm. And, of course, they're concerned about storm damage going into Georgia, storm surge in the Carolinas. They're expecting the storm surge could be as high as 20 to 28 feet in certain areas. And to put that in perspective, that is roughly equivalent to Hurricane Katrina, which had a storm surge of about a little under 28 feet. So that's where we are. This is a major, major storm. Now, a lot of people look back at Hurricane Andrew and the vast amount of damage it did to residential property. But Hurricane Irma is poised to overshadow that storm back in 1992 because there's so much more to destroy. Because South Florida has seen this huge construction boom in the last two decades. A lot of people moving to Florida, especially retirees, and looking out over the counties of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. At one point, cranes were the unofficial bird of the state. And there's a huge bunch of newly built homes right in the path of this storm. And I hope they were built up to code. But how do you have code for something this powerful and this destructive? Now, turning over to Hurricane Jose, they're predicting it to reach Category 4 strength within hours. And unfortunately, it is aimed right at Bermuda. And that's going to be, a serious, serious problem. This is a disaster. There's no other way to describe it. Now, the United Arab Emirates is sending $10 million to help the people of Texas recover and rebuild from Hurricane Harvey, which is a very nice thing for them to do. And the Senate, meanwhile, has doubled Trump's request for hurricane spending, passing a $15 billion with a B disaster aid package. That's the good news. Unfortunately, the bill also carried with it raising the debt's limit, allowing the government to just borrow more money like crazy, and funds the government for an additional three more months because they were on the verge of running out of money over there. Now, I have to tell you, one of the things, I guess a disaster like this is going to bring out both the best and the worst in the people. And the best is all these photos that you see of total strangers trying to help each other without regard to skin color, without regard to gender or orientation or any of that stuff. Just get out of the water. Get safe. Get to a high ground. And that's the best that we can see in people. And then you have the absolute worst, the scammers, the crooks, and the looters, and people who just want to mess with people's heads. Yeah, at a time when they're dealing with this impending disaster. We're going to do a quick shout-out to our Honor affiliates who are just joining the network, obviously talking about all these storms that are hitting the Caribbean, Florida, Bermuda, Mexico, so forth and so on. Somebody started posting a fake map for Hurricane Irma all over social media, saying that Irma was actually going to skip past the tip of Florida and hit Houston again. And everybody in Houston was getting into a panic over this thing. It's a completely bogus map. Somebody just made it up on Facebook, made it look like it was coming from a TV network, and they posted it as a joke. They think it's funny. There's nothing funny about traumatizing already traumatized people. It's mean. It's cruel. It's petty. It's childish. And as if Mexico wasn't dealing with enough problems with the damage from Hurricane Katia, they got hit by a powerful 8.1 magnitude earthquake just off the southern coast of Mexico, really close to the tectonic plate zone. Tsunami warnings were issued all along the coastline there. We actually got notified here in Hawaii to expect a tsunami, but it was only one-third of a meter high, so they didn't sound the sirens or anything like that. But still in all, it's like the Earth is just getting tired of all of this nonsense we humans are up to, and it's just saying, get off already. Now, somebody shot an amazing video of these flashes of light in the clouds above Mexico during the quake, and according to National Geographic, scientists in 2014 wrote a paper suggesting that such lights were caused by electrical properties of certain rocks. And when you think about an earthquake where you have these two masses of rock sliding past each other, you're going to get a huge amount of static electricity. And what's really interesting is the very first major quake I experienced was the Sylmar quake after my family had moved from New Hampshire out to California, and we were there for the Sylmar quake. And I remember seeing those lights in the sky. And at the time, I just thought it was downed power lines sparking and arcing. But I was looking at this video that they shot in Mexico and saying, yeah, that's exactly what I saw there. So it's an interesting little phenomenon going on over there. Comcast, for some reason, everybody's using the storm for their own agenda. Comcast is now blaming Hurricane Harvey for a massive subscription loss. Oh my goodness, we've lost our subscribers, our revenues are down, gosh darn that storm, and so forth and so on. Now, getting into the domestic politics, we mentioned this, we teased this a little bit yesterday, about how there was a huge number of out-of-state voters that came into New Hampshire. Now, New Hampshire is one of the states that allows same-day registration. You can show up and register on the day of the election and then be allowed to vote. And apparently there were these people who were coming on in with out-of-state driver's licenses saying, we just now moved here. We haven't got our new licenses. We want to register to vote. And apparently there were something like, but there were thousands and thousands of them. And as it turns out, these people hadn't moved to New Hampshire. They had simply driven in from other states. And it looks like they changed the outcome of the New Hampshire election, both for the U.S. Senate seat and for the presidential election itself. So, again, our elections are a disgrace. They're an absolute joke, and Trump has got to do something about this, or he's going to be a one-term president. Now, Hillary Clinton is out there trying to make a lot of noise and still attract attention. Apparently, she's addicted to fan worship or something like that. And she managed to get herself on the cover of Time magazine for its Women Who Are Changing the World issue. And she's out there saying, you know, pay attention to me. Forget Obama. My story is just as inspiring as anybody else. And apparently in this article in Time, she's blaming sexism for her election loss. Oh, it's those men who couldn't bring themselves to vote for a woman. That's not what was going on. There are a lot of women I'd love to see as president. Cynthia McKinney, for one. Our former governor, Linda Lingle, would have made a great president. We just didn't like Hillary Clinton, not because she's a woman, because of what she and her husband have done over the last 30 years. So she's out there with her book tour for her new book, What Happened, and she's on this cross-country sales pitch, and she kicked it off in New York. And finally, the Democrats, they're fed up. They're just saying she wished she would just dry up and go away because she's become an albatross around the neck of the Democratic Party. And even Senator John McCain, who's a good friend of the Clintons, said, I respect and admire and am a friend of Hillary's, but with these kinds of things happen in life, you've got to move on. Hillary will not let go. She's going to turn into this really bitter old lady, you know, living in the rest home in the wheelchair saying, I could have won. I could have won. If it weren't for those men, I could have won. Now, getting on back to the email scandal, we are seeing an article that basically confirms that the NSA has all of Hillary Clinton's deleted emails, along with Platte River, the server company, and Datto. They have all 30,000 deleted emails. Now, it came out last week that the NSA had offered those deleted emails to James Comey, and he said he wasn't interested. And this, of course, dovetails with the revelation that Comey was writing his justification for exonerating Hillary Clinton even before interviewing any of the witnesses or collecting any evidence. It was never going to happen. Comey was not going to let it happen. And it appears that he was being directed in this direction from above, meaning the White House. Here's the interesting part. Corporate media is actually starting to report on this draft document that Comey wrote back in like April of last year to exonerate Hillary Clinton. At least Fox News was covering it. So when we make a big enough noise about something in the independent media, the corporate media has to follow along sooner or later. All right, let's grab ourselves a phone call. Kevin in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I wanted to call in and talk to you about hurricanes, but you got on the subject with Comey and Hillary and everything. One of the AWOM brothers is just got off of house arrest and is down in Florida. I hope yes. He don't, quote-unquote, disappear in this hurricane.
Yeah, that's a real situation because it looks like his dead man switch was that laptop, and the police now have it, but he's definitely a live liability for the Clintons, and live liabilities don't stay alive very long around the Clintons. So it's hard to imagine somebody locating him. I can't imagine he's staying in the place he was supposed to be living in. If he's smart, he's in his car on the way out of the path of destruction.
Right, he had went to court about something about getting the GPS taken off of him so he could get out of Florida. But as far as I know,
well, those GPS anklets, I guess you could call them, they work through the cell phone system. If the cell phone system goes down, and it will during a hurricane, nobody will be able to find him, even if he's still wearing it.
Absolutely. The other thing, now I can't shake this off of my mind, and I know everybody's going to jump up, conspiracy, but we have the ability to manipulate the weather and everything.
Well, wait a minute. There's been some minor success with cloud seeding to generate rain. which has generated lawsuits from the people downwind who feel that their rain was being stolen. But when you look at the amount of energy it takes to create something like a hurricane, it is way beyond the technology of humans to do, and will be for a very, very long time.
You don't think that we could possibly steer it?
The only time I've seen a hurricane be either steered or just blown apart is earlier this year. We had a couple of hurricanes come through Hawaii, and they came right in over the Big Island on the south side over the active volcanoes. And that huge updraft of air literally tore those storms apart. But again, it's a huge amount of energy that we simply cannot duplicate. Even with nuclear weapons, you can't put that much heat in the air.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you had known about the A1, you know, being off of, you know, house arrest and had flipped. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I had heard, is under criminal investigation now, too.
Well, I would certainly like to see something happen there. But again, we've got our second attorney general in a row that doesn't seem interested in pursuing this. We have our second FBI director in a row that doesn't seem interested in doing this. Mueller is out there trying to do a hatchet job on Trump and absolutely nothing else. And the request by Congress for a second special counsel to look into the Hillary scandals is being ignored. So right. The deep state is in a panic, but, you know, they're all going to pull together to protect that narcocracy at the heart of our government.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time, sir, and I hope you have a great, wonderful show and a great day.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. We're going to let you go here. All right, let's turn over to the war zones, emphasis on the plural. And once again, U.S. aircraft have been spotted and videoed evacuating ISIS field commanders from Deir ez-Zor to quote-unquote safer regions. And this is coming from a couple of different sources, southfront.org, which apparently now has been banned from YouTube. And Press TV is also reporting on the same thing. Gee, I thought Daesh or ISIS, they were supposed to be the bad guys. Remember all those videos of people pretending to be beheaded? And they were just out there. Oh, these are the bad guys. These are the reason we're in Syria. And here we have the U.S. evacuating these senior commanders. Obviously, they need to use them someplace else, probably down in the Philippines or up in Afghanistan, to justify invasions there. Now, here's a very bizarre story. And this came out of Russia today. At a meeting with the Emir of Kuwait, U.S. President Donald Trump claimed to have very little to do with Syria, but would be very upset if it turned out the government was using chemical weapons. In other words, they're telegraphing another false flag gas attack. And before they get down that road, we need to remind you all that that last one in Idlib never made any sense to begin with. To find out if you're being lied to, look for what should be there and isn't. And what was missing from that story was a motive for Assad to do something that stupid. He was winning the war against these U.S.-backed terrorists. The world was coming to accept that Assad was going to stay in power. Even the White House had said, yeah, we're ready to accept this new political reality. Why would Assad at that moment do the one thing that would allow the U.S. to scream bloody murder and start bombing his country again, which is exactly what happened? It never really made any sense. Now, the United Nations is out there with a new report trying to claim that, yes, it was the Syrian government that gassed those people at Idlib, but it turns out there is a huge hole in their story, because basically the entire claim that Syria was behind it was that a Syrian military aircraft was spotted departing the Shayrat air base. But it turns out that that spotting took place hours after the sarin gas, or whatever was actually used, attack took place. It's a big logic hole. The UN is doing the bidding of the U.S. yet again. We'll be right back.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And as news of the U.S. evacuating, saving ISIS commanders from Deir ez-Zor spreads, obviously they have to get back out there and try and remind everybody, these are the bad guys. You got to hate these people because everywhere ISIS shows up, we're going to invade. We're going to send your children off to fight them. So now Israeli experts are out there saying that Daesh has a new terror tool. They're going to be using poisons in shopping malls. Like, our economy isn't all retail Mageddon isn't bad enough already. But this is all this really is. They're going to be back out there with the propaganda to remind us all that ISIS are evil. And anywhere ISIS shows up, like Afghanistan or the Philippines or wherever, we have to go on in and we have to invade that country for their own good, to save them from the evil ISIS. And yet we have these constant, ongoing, repeating reports about how every time ISIS is going to be cornered, the U.S. troops get in the way of the Syrian army. They open a corridor to let them through. Or in the current case, they're airlifting them out in helicopters. Another article coming out of Dark Moon. Panic in Tel Aviv. Is Netanyahu losing it? And they're talking along the same lines that I was a while back. Netanyahu is really facing a lot of heat over this corruption scandal. And anytime a president gets into trouble, they love to start some kind of a war to distract everybody from it. And to remind everybody, you don't change the leaders. When there's a war going on, you have to stick with the leader. And again, look at what Clinton did when Monica Lewinsky was testifying before the congressional committee about the stained blue dress. She walked out of the hearing expecting to find a phalanx of the media, and all she saw were empty steps, because while she'd been in there testifying, President Clinton had gone off and ordered cruise missile attacks into a couple of countries in the Mideast, claiming they were destroying biological weapons laboratories. In one case, they hit a mosque and they hit an aspirin factory, which you, the taxpayers, got to pay to rebuild, by the way, along with the million a shot cruise missiles. And so it looks like Netanyahu is personally endeavoring to reignite the Syrian war, even though more and more people are saying this thing is over. Assad has won. And Israel's launching these airstrikes on Syria, trying to get Assad to do something, to respond, in order to escalate it and justify bringing the United States in. And Assad is just being patient. He's waiting it out. He's not responding. He's not taking the bait. And the more Israel goes on in and attacks Syria, the more obvious it is Israel's the provocation, not Syria. Now, Syria is still playing by the rules. The Syrian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and expatriates have sent letters to the Secretary General of the United Nations and the President of the UN Security Council asking for the United Nations to put an end to the illegal Israeli violations of its airspace and bombing of its military positions. And pointing out that the Syrian army is really responsible for the destruction of ISIS, at least within Syria, and that's obviously going to benefit the whole world. And Israel seems intent on bombing those military positions that are a threat to ISIS. So it's a very, very complex picture over there. Interestingly enough, after 6 years, France all of a sudden wants to pull the plug on Libya. And French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said that he noticed positive developments that might help end the Libyan crisis. And what's really going on, of course, is France has got upcoming elections, and all of these wars are very unpopular with voters. And so they want to de-link and get away from it, let it fade into history, or otherwise the incumbent parties are going to be in serious, serious trouble. All right, we're going to take another break here for some commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And interesting article that came out over at Zero Hedge, and it echoes something I was saying earlier in the week. Why the War Party loves to call foreign leaders insane, and basically reiterates the same message. If the U.S. government decides it doesn't like a foreign government, it's something of a tradition for U.S. politicians and the media to portray those leaders as irrational, unhinged, or downright insane. They're a danger to the world. And they did that to Saddam Hussein. They did it to Milosevic. They're doing it to Assad. And now they're doing it to Kim Jong-un. And every time I have somebody come up to me and say, well, that Kim Jong-un, he's dangerous, he's insane, he's crazy. I said, oh, really? Have you met him? Like Dennis Rodman. They said, no, I just got it off the TV news. I said, so your entire opinion of Kim Jong-un comes from the very same people who told you Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons, and you're going to believe it? Every time the U.S. wants to go to war against somebody, you're going to see it almost telegraphed. There'll be movies that will demonize the people, demonize the country, demonize the culture. Oh, they're evil because they don't live the way that we do. And, of course, portray all their leaders as psychotic, wacko crazies. In fact, I remember back when Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came on out, and it was a very obvious Russia bash there. And I remember thinking, okay, we're going to start getting hostile to Russia. By golly, it sure as heck happened, didn't it, here? Now, as you know, the U.S. attitude toward North Korea is they're begging for war. They're begging for war. They're begging for war. Actually, no. The fact is North Korea keeps indicating they're open to negotiations and they're willing to freeze their nuclear program if the U.S. stops threatening them. And the corporate media will never mention that. They'll talk about the missile tests and the bomb tests and all the rest of that other stuff, but they won't mention the fact that North Korea has indicated a willingness to talk. But the U.S. doesn't want to talk. They want a war. Because the economy is coming apart. The American people are very dissatisfied with the way the government is working. And they figure a nice, bloody global war is going to just get everybody to fall in line, because that's what happened the last two times. Crash of 1908, World War I. Crash of 1929, World War II. Crash of 2008, it's a pattern. It's repeating. We see it. Now, the United States is threatening North Korea with a nuclear war. They're actually out there saying they're considering the use of a preemptive nuclear strike. This is a clear violation of the UN Charter. It is the U.S. that is the warmonger. It is the U.S. government that is the aggressor. It is the U.S. government that is invading and drone striking and regime changing all across the globe. And by the way, it's not going very well. But for the people on the ground in these countries, it doesn't really matter who's winning or who's losing. They're just seeing their lives destroyed. Putin is already expressing regrets over awarding Tillerson with the Russian Order of Friendship. Guess you can't take that back, can you? Let's talk about the economic news. A lot of stuff going on there. We have been commenting for a very, very long time that the stock market is, in fact, being manipulated by the plunge protection team, by crooked Wall Street speculators. And let's just see how the market ended up today. Well, they just barely got the Dow into the green. NASDAQ and S&P are in the red. So the PPT is losing traction. But the problem is it's a stock market bubble, because they keep using rigging techniques, supply and demand, buy, whatever it is that they do, to push those numbers high. So everybody can point to those numbers and say, see, the economy is in great shape. Look at what the stock market is doing. How can you, just because you're hungry and homeless and you haven't had a job in years, you know, you just look at the stock market. Obviously, the economy is doing good. It's your fault that you're hungry and homeless and jobless. Don't blame us. And of course, we do blame them. And they've overvalued the market. It's far more overvalued now than it was in 1929. And the bubble is now so massive, even people on Wall Street are starting to say, this has gone on too far. And we have two major bank CEOs have come on out warning about the instability of the market right now. The first was Deutsche Bank CEO John Cryan, who came on out saying, we are now seeing signs of bubbles in more and more parts of the capital market where we wouldn't have expected them. And then you have Lloyd Blankfein, who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs, saying in the same week, when yields on corporate bonds are lower than dividends on stocks, that unnerves me. So they're very, very, very concerned. And remember, Goldman Sachs is the world's most powerful bank, not just in terms of money, but political clout. You have four out of the last eight U.S. Treasury secretaries were former Goldman Sachs employees, including the current one. Three current Federal Reserve Bank presidents are Goldman Sachs alumni. And with that kind of political clout, they can get what they want. Back in 2008, when the financial system was melting down and banks were suffering enormous losses, The government orchestrated a sweetheart bailout deal of which Goldman Sachs was the primary beneficiary. All on the backs of the American taxpayer. And by the way, that is a classic symptom of living under fascism. When the corporations make money, they get to keep it. When they lose money, the losses are transferred on to the people. That is fascism. Benito Mussolini always said, fascism should more properly be called corporatism, because it is the alignment of corporate greed and government power against the general population. Right now, central banks all over the world are dealing with the reality that the party may be about over, and none of them has an exit strategy. This according to an article out of Investment Watch blog. And I've been saying for a very, very long time, the private central banks were set up to basically suck all of the real wealth out of a nation and its people and put it in the pockets of the owners of the private central bank. And they never made a plan on what to do when they finally succeeded. And that is the problem. We're there. They're insanely rich. We're desperately poor. And now they don't know what they're going to do when it all starts to come apart here. Now, as you know, the debate over raising the minimum wage keeps going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, where corporations are saying, well, if you raise the minimum wage, it's going to be more expensive for us to do business. And then there's the common sense reality that if working people are not able to trade their labor, their skills, for decent wages and salaries, they're not going to have the money to go to the shopping malls and buy the products those corporations are selling. It is just common sense. You can't have this degree of wealth imbalance and expect the society to continue to function. Americans are living paycheck to paycheck between rising rents, rising utility costs, rising cost of food. They don't have any money left over to do things like go to movies or buy a new car or buy a new TV or any of that stuff. They just don't. And nobody on Wall Street or in Washington, D.C. wants to look at that reality. They just want to find another way to steer more of the what remains of the nation's money into their pockets. Now, the real reason wages have stagnated in this country is because our economy has slowly morphed, if you will, from a manufacturing agriculture economy to an economy that is based entirely on financialization. In other words, loaning money, making interest on the money, and their focus is on that, buying and selling stocks. And they've absolutely forgotten that you cannot have a strong economy without strong manufacturing and strong agricultural exports. And the United States has neither. Nobody wants our GMO agriculture, and American products are getting a reputation for being overpriced pieces of junk. All right, we're going to go over to the telephones here. Tony in Puerto Rico, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Listen, I have a couple of questions. My first question is this. You think maybe Donald Trump someday is going to sign an executive order similar to what John F. Kennedy signed in regards to Executive Order 11110, or is it his hands are tied? That's my first question. My second question is, was John Wilkes Booth an agent of the Rothschilds?
Well, to the first question, I'm sure that Trump is being completely controlled by the people around him, and they would simply tell him that if he issued a new government-issued currency, that the economy would crash immediately, and probably in one of the back rooms, somebody may have said that's one of the reasons Kennedy was assassinated, because of the United States note. As far as John Wilkes Booth being an agent of the Rothschilds, I don't know that he himself personally was. But there's absolutely no question that the European central bankers, including the Rothschilds, wanted Lincoln gone along with his greenbacks because it was a serious threat to the banking structure of the day. And in fact, the European media was writing all these editorials saying what a disaster it was for the banking families of Europe for a government to make its own money and be without debt. And that if this was allowed to continue, it would spread across the globe, and that would be the end of the private central banks. So there's no question that they wanted Lincoln gone. But whether John Wilkes Booth was aware of that dimension or not, or if he was simply thinking revenge for the Civil War, we don't really know. But there was definitely that dimension to the assassination of Lincoln.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike. Take care.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are now open. Apparently, China is starting to shut down the local cryptocurrency exchanges, and Bitcoin has taken another hit on that. Meanwhile, the dollar is actually getting a bit of a drubbing as well across Asia. And apparently, the dollar has plunged by the most in 6 months during the U.S. day session. And the dollar is continuing to get pounded all across Asia Pacific, with the Hong Kong dollar and the yuan, especially the yuan, surging. Gold is extending their gains. So they're not able to keep the gold prices under control any longer. When there's that much demand for gold, and people understand that they shouldn't be buying those paper contracts because they're leveraged hundreds to one, of course the price of gold is going to go on up. Now, over in India, they were the first nation to start experimenting with serious demonetization, the cashless society. And they started out by simply banning all large bills and working their way down. And as a result, India's economy is now crashing. It's locking up because people don't want to use those plastic cards, don't want the government tracking them. People like having cash in their pocket that they can just whip on out and buy an ice cream cone or whatever it's going to be. Buying something small like that shouldn't be a major financial transaction involving several banks and a computer network. That's ridiculous. The other day, Claire and I were down at Safeway, and we were in the line at one of the checkout stands. Three people ahead of us, all of them using cards to buy stuff. And we had to sit and wait while the card was read in, and it went out over the computer network, and it took a long time to come back and say, yes, this is approved, and all this other nonsense. And it's actually slowing commerce down to have a cashless society. Now, one of my favorite stores I like to hang out in is Toys R Us, even though when they first started up, they were really good. They had really good toys, Erector sets, Meccano sets, really cool science toys. These days, it's mostly just branded merchandise from movies and so forth and so on. But apparently, even Toys R Us is now in trouble, and they have hired a bankruptcy law firm. I imagine that they're hoping that this Christmas season will bail them out. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the Christmas stuff is already in the stores. The Hallmark keepsake ornaments are up on display down again at the Safeway. They've already got stacks of Yule logs ready to go, right alongside all the Halloween candy and stuff for Thanksgiving. It's just a nonstop. There's a holiday coming. Buy, 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 buy. I think the plan is that you buy a package of Halloween candy here in September, and then you get into it, and you munch on it, and then... as you get closer to the real Halloween, you have to go buy another one. That may be the thinking behind that. But they're just pushing it out there. And I don't think we're going to have a good Christmas this year. We haven't had, in terms of the retailers. And another really bad Christmas holiday shopping season is probably going to be the final nail in the coffin to some iconic retailers across America. Now, here's a little example of government efficiency. According to census experts, here on planet Earth, the entire planet, there are only 65 people known to be 106 years old or older. Yet here in the United States of America, the U.S. Inspector General says there are 6.5 million people getting monthly Social Security benefits who are over 106 years of age. 6.5 million. And the IRS is saying it's going to be too expensive to fix this Social Security benefit fraud. So they're just going to sit back and let it go on. It's amazing here. All righty. We're coming up here on another commercial break here. When we come on back, we're going to be talking about immigration. There's a real fight brewing between Brussels and Hungary and Poland and some of the other countries. And we'll talk about that when we get back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. This story just crossed my desk just now. Apparently, Libyan authorities arrested a commander of ISIS and discovered they had an Israeli Mossad agent. So more proof that Israel was on the side of the U.S.-backed terrorists was actually in there instigating. So all you ISIS people listening to the show, you're working for Israel. Ha, 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 ha. The joke's on you. We're going to take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Hey, remember that saying, if you don't hold it, you don't own it for gold or any precious metals? Well, if the bank holds your wealth, then they own you. That's why be your own bank. Very easy.
I absolutely agree. Well, the reason they want the cashless society is for two reasons. One, it allows the banks and the government to track absolutely everything that you are buying. And it, frankly, it's none of their business if I stop off for a jelly donut on the way home from work, in my opinion. It's none of their business. Second, it prevents the possibility of a bank run because the banks are crashing. You go to the bank and say, I want my savings account. And they say, well, all we can do is transfer it to another bank. They can't give it to you. They're absolutely opposed to any portable store of value in your hands. And, yeah, they're forcing you to be dependent on those banks, and dependency is slavery.
I don't want to go into fractional reserve banking. If nobody knows what that is, you can go online and learn about it. But hey, Mike, that's one thing I don't like Bitcoin, because you don't hold it. Per se, it's a digital currency, so you're in the same boat.
I thought there actually was a physical coin that represented a Bitcoin. Not a lot of them, but I thought they actually had a physical coin you could get.
I think it was a digital coin where it's like a code. I don't even know how this whole Bitmining thing works. That's over my head.
I haven't really gotten into it. I got involved at one point trying to set up this thing, and then the state of Hawaii declared it illegal, and the hub that was handling this cryptocurrency basically zeroed out my account, and that was kind of the end of that. So, and I'm one of those people, I want cash. I want to do my business in cash, much less paperwork, instant gratification, and also there's an advantage to having cash in your pocket. You know how much you got. You know what you can spend. And when your pocket is empty, you stop spending. And that's a very important thing. Most of these cashless societies, if your checking account, debit account, whatever you want to call it, runs out, they'll just hop on over to your savings account, or they'll give you a loan, a line of credit, and charge you more money for that. Again, I don't like being forced to be dependent on the banks, especially when you look at how many banks have been caught engaging in outright fraud and are still walking around. The CEOs are still walking around free. They cannot be arrested for fraud in this country. Okay?
Mike, can you hold me over? I wanted to ask you another question.
All right, I'll hold you over. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.